I'm Steve Potter, and welcome to Cityscape. The fourth annual St. Lou Fringe Festival opens next week and runs for 10 days in Grand Center, featuring uncensored, unjuried performing arts of all kinds. And later in the hour, we're going to give you an idea of what to expect this year. We'll also introduce you to composer Tobias Picker and librettist J.D. McClatchy. Their opera, Emmeline, has received a lot of critical acclaim, but it's been rarely produced, although audiences here will have a chance to see it when it opens in St. Louis tomorrow night. Quartango is a self-described tango ensemble with a symphonic twist. Here's a sample of their work. Quartango officially releases their first album next week with a concert at the Sheldon. Callie Benham is the group's founder. Adam DeSorgo is the group's pianist and vocalist, and they join us now. Welcome to the program.
Thank you for having us.
I love the sound of that, the concept of tango music with a symphonic twist. Is that a first, Callie?
Well, I think it's pretty unusual. I just wanted to play the music because I love the music so much, and I don't play a traditional tango instrument. I'm the English horn player with the St. Louis Symphony, so I decided to kind of make my own ensemble. It ended up having an unusual orchestration, and I think it works. We're trying to be true to tango, kind of reading the music like classical musicians do.
Well, I guess there are seven or eight of you in the group, are there?
There are six official members of the group now. We started with four, and I invited two more people to join us.
And you're all symphony musicians.
Four of us are members of the St. Louis Symphony, and another one is Adam DeSorgo, who's here today, who is with the Sarasota Orchestra, and then we also have as a member Adam Manis, who is a jazz musician about town.
With the 442s.
Mm-hmm, known for his work with 442s.
And other things. Mm-hmm. Well, Adam, we're sort of having Florida weather here today, so you feel at home, I'm sure.
Definitely.
You are the principal oboist with the Sarasota Orchestra.
That's correct.
But you and Callie go way back.
Yeah, we do. We met at the New World Symphony in the 2000-2001 season.
That's right.
Uh-huh. And then we spent 3 years in Miami together before that's sort of an internship, so your time there is finite. And then you went on to, I think, Buffalo.
I went to the Buffalo Philharmonic and then here.
And then mm-hmm. I went to Sarasota.
Well, what about this music interest you to bring you all the way up from Florida?
I think it has differences and similarities that are, I think the similarities that I find really interesting are how, in essence, how classical the voices are in a way, the different voices of the ensemble. And if you listen to early tango from the 40s and 50s, I think it has this kind of orchestral feel to it that I think I've found really attractive. And the differences, of course, is that, you know, who plays oboe in a tango group, you know, except maybe a few people.
Or the English horn, for that matter.
Or the English horn.
Right. I think I'm pretty sure I'm the only one playing the English horn in a tango group anywhere.
Right, right.
Well, when I think of tango, I think of dance, but is tango also, is there a tango music as well, if you know what I mean?
Yes. I mean, I started the group with the intention of creating a great experience, an ideal experience for social dancing. So we started by playing more traditional kind of steady tangos that don't change tempo, don't have a lot of rubato. But of course, tango music evolved over the years and, became more complicated and more concert-like by composers like Osvaldo Pugliese and Astor Piazzolla. And so we do both. I mean, we like to play, to present some pieces that are concert-like in nature and then also play for dancers.
Well, for those people that aren't familiar with it, the image that comes to mind, I guess, would be two people in a close embrace with a rose or something in their mouth,
always,
right?
Always the rose, yes, yeah. Yes. That's what everybody thinks of when they think of tango or the Dancing with the Stars performances.
Is that a good is that a good representation?
I think that it's a very exciting, iconic idea of tango. What we're doing is something that's like a little bit more gritty and has its roots, you know, in the real social dancing that happens in Argentina.
Now, you play the English horn, which is not a traditional instrument that would be used for this. We have a clip we want to listen to of you on the horn.
Playing alone.
And what yes. are we going to hear here?
This is me playing the melody all alone from one of the tangos on our album, Canto de Amor, Song of Love.
That's Callie Banham on English Horn. We're talking to her and Adam DeSorgo about Core Tango, which is a group that's going to release their first album at a concert, officially release it, I guess, at a concert next week at at the Sheldon.
Yeah, the album has actually been out for about a month, and it's on iTunes and Amazon streaming and all of that. But this was this is our planned official party to celebrate everything at the Sheldon.
Tondas
is the title of the album, yes.
And what does that mean?
A tanda, the definition of a tanda is a set of dances that's shared by a couple at a social dance. Social dances for tango are called milongas. So if you go to a milonga and you want to dance, the man will invite a woman for a tanda, not just one song, the way it would happen with salsa or at the ballroom dances. You're invited and you stay with the same partner for 3 or 4 songs. It's a big commitment. So you're with that person for about 10 minutes with the same partner. You dance 3 or 4 songs. So I grouped the album into kind of ready-made tandas in the hopes that our music would be played at milongas around the world.
I see, Adam. Did you have to learn to dance to do this?
I took one lesson the first concert that we played.
He was a great sport about it.
I'm a terrible dancer.
Well, what's it like to I don't know anything about it, to dance the tango? Are there specific steps? Do you just kind of go with the flow, or is it, you know, specific movements?
Well, it's a complicated dance, and it's very difficult to learn to do it well. Actually, in St. Louis, there's a fantastic community of people, about 75, I would say, people who are very well-trained and very dedicated. Probably about half of them have been to Buenos Aires to study. So it's very intricate. You learn it's mainly about tango. The Argentine tango is about the connection with the partner, the close embrace, the moving together as two people meeting and moving together as one. That's really what it's about.
You talk about the group. Is that the weekly thing at the Ritz-Carlton?
Yes. There's a milonga every Sunday night at 7 o'clock in the bar lounge at the Ritz-Carlton. You can find me there as the DJ often. And we have played there. The Core Tango made our debut there 2 years ago.
So, Adam, what's it like for you as a symphony a musician performing this type of music? I mean, just technically, or how's it different for you?
I think the first concert that we played, the difference was the intimacy of the audience, as it were, meaning the people who were dancing. I think the effect on them and what they were doing was you just felt it without the space between the stage and the audience that you usually feel with any type of concert setting.
Well, we have a sample from the album, your debut album.
Great, yeah. This next thing that we're going to hear is a beautiful arrangement that actually was made by Adam DeSorgo for the group. It's the name of the song is Una Vez.
Core Tango is the group. They perform tango music with a symphonic twist. And I don't know, I kind of go back to, it sounds like an old ballroom from the 30s or 40s or something. That's the visual I get.
That makes me happy that you say that. That's
really?
Exactly, yeah. What we were going for.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you, what was your inspiration for this? I mean, was it just your love of the original tango music?
Yes. I mean, it started because I took up the tango social dance as a hobby.
You moved here from where?
I was in Buffalo, New York before this. I'm from Philadelphia. Uh-huh. I came here to join the symphony 9 years ago.
So you're a new guy, a new kid in town.
Right.
And you decided, you know, dancing is a way, I guess, to make friends and meet people.
Exactly.
So
I mean,
tell me your experience.
After I got settled in with the symphony, I mean, I spent several years just focusing on that alone. And then around 2009, I wanted to kind of get out there and meet more people. I started with salsa. And then a couple of years later, I found tango. I decided to try something as a beginner.
So you were doing that just socially on your off time to dance and to meet people.
Exactly.
So when did it click on your head, hey, I can maybe fool with this a little bit?
I was in a class in November of, I think it must have been November of 2012. I was taking a class and the instructors were using a particular song that I love so much, La Mariposa. And I just kept thinking, oh my gosh, I love this music so much. I wish I could play it. I said that to my friends in the class afterward and they said, well, why don't you? And I thought, well, of course I can. I'm a musician. Why not? I play an instrument that has a vocal quality. And so I kind of took the vocal line and, you know, we made this little group, of course, you know, with a lot of help from my colleagues in the band.
Well, it's not unusual for symphony musicians to have, you know, side interests and be involved in other groups and things. Adam, what reaction do you get from your peers down in Sarasota when you say you're part of a tango group?
I don't know. I think they're intrigued by it all, you know. And we actually have most orchestras have musicians that like to do things that are outside their jobs in the symphony, and I think a few of them actually have wanted to play occasionally, just a few things down in Florida. So
do you get up and dance at any point?
Oh, no.
No, you're just a watcher. Well, we have a clip from your debut album, Adam, and it features you singing. What is it?
I think this is one of the valses on the album called Isabelita.
A las cinco por Florida, muy bien vestida, pasa Isabel. Su silueta distinguida es perseguida como la miel. Pues no hay hombre que al mirarla no se empeñe en conquistarla. Pero nadie ha conseguido ser preferido por Isabel.
And that's Adam DeSorgo. You sound great.
Oh, thank you.
What's the history, Kelly, of tango? Originally from Argentina, within the last 100 or so years, maybe?
Yes, that's right. It started, you know, in the late, you know, in 1890s or something like that. The music kind of started really began with people, men dancing with other men on the docks in the port town of Buenos Aires.
Really?
Yes, that's the history. That's the truth. And it expanded. I mean, it's a very colorful story. Tango found its way to Europe in the 1920s when the great band leader Francisco Canaro took his orchestra over there, and it kind of caught on. You know, and then, of course, it made its way to America.
And I'm not sure when, but you actually went to Argentina, rented an apartment, kind of hung out with the tango musicians and that sort of thing?
I did. I've been twice over the, you know, two summers. I've spent about 8 weeks there. The first time I went, I was more interested in the dancing, and I did some training. But last summer when I was there, I was interested mostly in going to listen to the bands and the orchestras that I could hear while I was there.
Adam, what do you think the appeal is?
I think it has a quality to it that is, I don't know, I can just say what appeals to me about it is that it has, it harkens back, like I said earlier, to these classic tango orchestras of the 30s and 40s. And I think that people generally don't associate it with any kind of music that's happening today. So I think in some ways today it's different.
And is it different for you as performers compared to classical music? Because when you're playing classical, you're really following the music that a composer wrote pretty much as it's supposed to be. But you're a little looser in this, aren't you?
We're trying to learn how to play, you know, the authentic style. We have someone joining us at the Sheldon who's the producer of our album, a great bandoneon player from Argentina, Julian Hasse. And he has worked with us a lot, almost as a coach, to help us to find this style.
Cortango officially releases their album at a concert next Tuesday, 7:30 at the Sheldon. If you'd like more information about tickets and details, go to stlpublicradio.org/cityscape. And I know after you perform, there's going to be an intermission, and then we can take the floor.
Yes, there will be open dancing after intermission.
I mean, do you have to know how?
No, everyone is welcome. to try it out, see how long you last.
Well, congratulations on your first album and continued success.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
That's Kelly Banham. She is the founder of Quartango and here from Sarasota, Florida, who will be on the piano and singing as well, Adam DeSorgo. Nice to meet you, Adam.
Nice to meet you, too.
Coming up next on Cityscape, Tobias Picker and J.D. McClatchy on Emmeline. This is St. Louis Public Radio.